to C3 Pathers. We're so glad you jumped on to our YouTube channel. We really believe that you'll have life. Jesus said life in all of its fullness will be yours. And that means you'll be loved, included, free, and equipped. So enjoy this message, and we'll catch you afterwards. God bless.
Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful day. Who loves the wind and the invigoration of cold? We live in Bathurst and Blaney and Lithgow. Come on. Let's embrace it. Jesus, as we enter your word this morning, I'm praying that it would greatly enrich us. Greatly enrich us. That we'd encounter you this morning in your word, filled with grace and truth. And just thank you that we can gather this morning together. Amen. Jesus' invitation into the rich life is so powerful. We live in a world of noise and hurry and stress and anxiety and relentless pursuit of all these things. But Jesus' call to come to me is the rich life. Jesus beckons us into a life of absolute beauty. Yet we live in a distracted world. Do you feel the tension? We've got to do, we've got to work, we've got to eat, we've got to look after cares, labors. But the call of Jesus, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the waters. He restores my soul. Do you see it? Old Testament, New Testament, the life of Jesus is a life of soul rest. I tell you, I hope you're finding it. This morning, we're going to go there more. This month, June, we're going to go there more. Today is talking about stillness, the beautiful practice of stillness. Next week, we're talking about Sabbath, then slowness. All these words designed, and then simplicity. I tell you, these are the things when Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and live in my ways, and then you'll have rest for your souls. You see, there's two things there. When he says, come to me and I'll give you rest, that's good. But to find rest for our souls, we've got to put into place the practices of Jesus. We can't live in the kingdom of God practicing the ways of the world. They're not compatible. And so if we're going to have true soul rest, the invitation of Jesus to come to me is the first thing. The second thing is to put on my lifestyle. Do life like I do it, says Jesus. Take my yoke upon you, and you'll find that it's not a heavy burden. You'll find that it's actually life-giving, and there's people around you to do this journey. I tell you, we're going to go there in the whole realm this morning of stillness as one of those practices that will help you find soul rest. So stillness freaks people out. I mean, I'm going to be alone with myself? You mean I got to disconnect and switch off? You mean I got to not touch my phone for 10 minutes? You mean I got to just withdraw and be in my room on my own? Our world doesn't cope so well with aloneness and stillness, but Jesus did. And there's an astonishing scripture in Psalm 46:10. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, or really share a meditation on Psalm 46, verse 10, just the first part. And it says, it says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, if you know it, it's a storm-filled psalm of lots of pressures, lots of things going, waves crashing over. And the solution? Be still and know that I am God. Be. Do you know that you can direct your soul? Most of the time, you know, we're driven by things like fears, anxieties, pressures, desires, wants, you know, feelings, thoughts, all these things kind of direct our soul. But do you know what? You can direct your soul. David did this. He'd often speak to his soul, and it sounds funny when you read it in the Bible. David says, "Be still, my soul." You go, what does that mean? It's kind of like he's talking to himself. Lloyd, shh, you know. But he actually does. He says, right now, soul, be quiet. The word be is a state. To be. To be. It's a state and a directive. See? So be quiet. You might tell a child to be quiet. It's a direction, right? It's a can you do this, please? But it's also a way of being. So what are you going to be? You and I have the authority in our own world to direct our own world. Be still. Be quiet. We're going to learn that this morning. Be still. Be still. Have you ever told yourself to be still? Be still. Now there's external stillness and internal stillness. Now, usually, stillness needs external stillness, right? Like, it's sometimes hard when you're in the middle of a busy office or a workspace or a busy family or busy life to kind of be still in here, which is what we're talking about. And so the practice of finding a still space is all throughout history. Jesus modeled it. You know, he used to get up, this is Mark 1:5, he used to get up early in the morning and find a solitary place or a desolate place. This is what the Bible talks about. 9 times in Luke's gospel, it talks about that. He disappears. And often it's after a big day. Often there's been huge things that's happened. You know, he's fed thousands of people. He's healed lots of people. He's spoken to, I mean, he would have been absolutely wrecked. I mean, how do you preach to 5,000 people without this? How do you feed? How do you minister and pour out yourself to the needs of the people around you who are pressing, literally pressing upon you? Like, who'd like a morning sleep in after that? Not Jesus. It's so funny. The disciples, they kind of wake up. Oh, man, that was a big day. Who's Jesus? Anyone seen Jesus? You seen Jesus? John? Mark? Pete? Simon? Mary? And they went looking for him. He's up some mountain praying early while it was still dark. I mean, it would have been cold. Jesus needed external stillness to help his internal stillness. So he ordered his world like that. You need external stillness to find internal stillness. You do. May not be once a day. It might be once a week. It might be once a quarter. Find a day just to be still. It's frightfully unproductive, isn't it, this stillness? It messes with our modern, I'm wasting my time. But there's stories over the years, if you can't find an external space, find a space in your busy world to be still. I remember the story of Susanna Wesley, who had, I don't know, I think it was 13 kids. And the story goes that she used to sit around her kitchen table because the houses were small back then. Imagine 13 kids in a like 2 or 3 room house. And so she'd sit there with the buzz of the kids going around there, and she used to put a towel over her head. And the kids would know, don't disturb mum when she's got a towel over her head because she's praying. She's in the middle of it all. Maybe that's you. Maybe there's no way you can escape up to the mountain like Jesus. Good luck. You know, he's a single guy. Go for it. Some of us have responsibilities. But even in there, find a space. But I found that the external stillness is not the hard bit. It's stilling this machine in here is the hard bit. The churn. Who knows when you go to pray? Oh, and you start to get in touch with what's really going on in here. Everything that's why we don't be still, because I don't want to know what's going on there. I'm just going to keep moving. I got to keep busy. I got to keep distracted, because then I won't have to deal with what's going on in here. If I stop, I'm going to be painfully aware that not all is well in here. I'm going to have to deal with it, so I don't. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. We do it as Christians, don't we? Got to keep serving. Got to keep doing. And we crash, and God forces a stillness upon us. But if we could learn the art of stillness in solitude, that means alone, and in silence, that means not actually saying anything, even to God, we find that the things bubble to the surface. And we have to know how to deal with them. So fears bubble up, right? Anxieties bubble up. Hurts. Oh, she said that yesterday. Man, that hurt. And when you stop and you start to feel it, and my boss, she doesn't understand. I tried so hard, and she just, anger, resentment, you know? All these things, disappointments from the past, things that haven't happened, fear of things not happening in the future. All these swell around. And when we come before God, it's like I gotta undress a little and expose my soul. That's scary, isn't it? But it's only scary if you don't believe who God is. If you don't understand that he's a God primarily of love, first thing. If you don't completely get that the God of love actually wants to come in and heal your soul. He leads me beside still waters and he restores my soul. In the silence, in the honesty, soul to soul, healing takes place. I've found that there's two things that I reach for. One is a dopamine hit. It's like, I need something. You know, you need something. I need to eat chocolate. I need to do something. I need to get distracted. Who liked my hit? Yes, 4 people liked my post. Yes, I'm feeling great. And she even said that was a good picture. Awesome. I'm feeling better. And so we distract ourselves into oblivion, John Mark Comer says. And we don't deal with the things. So we look for a hit. Now they're kind of innocent hits, but you know, sometimes they get more sinister. We look for addictions, hard addictions, drugs, porn, anything to just keep quiet, right? The other thing that I find is the adrenaline. If we could still ourselves and deal with that beast, let it subside, let the need for other things be found in Jesus. When he is your sufficiency, when he is everything to you, you don't find yourself looking for the head. He says, be still. Be still. You can do it. He directs us. Be still. Find an external space, deal with the internal, and sit before God, exposed, like Adam and Eve in the garden, they hid, right? Because sin drove them away, and so they hid. But before then, it's a beautiful walk in the garden. We're going to recapture that walk in the garden. But then it says, and, be still, and. We're not talking Eastern meditation here. We're not talking just emptying my mind and letting the universe deal with it. No. I'm talking about something far richer. And be still and know. Be still and in the stillness, know. That word know The Greek translators of the Old Testament translated that word as gnosko, which is an experience of. An experience of, a deep knowledge of, almost sexual union, that word knowledge of. It's an amazing word. Be still and know. Be still and know. And know. Don't just be still on your own and try and deal with it. No. Be still and know. Experience. Be brought into something powerful. What is it? That I am God. That I am. That I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Not was God. Not was the God of my fathers and grandfathers, and not was the God of history, not was just the God of the Bible and the history that I read there, and not just the God of the future, the God when he'll wrap everything up, but no, I am present God. I am God right now in your situation. When you come and you still yourself before God and know that I am God. God. Creator God, all-powerful God, omniscient God, everywhere, all at once, God, all-knowing, the God who formed you intimately, Psalm 139, the God who knitted you together in your mother's womb, that kind of God, the God who made you for a purpose, the God who has plans and dreams for your life, the God who has carved out a way for you to get to know him, the God who cares for you more than anybody else on the planet, the God who has the capacity to help you more than anyone on the planet, that God. The misperception God. The God who doesn't really like us, the God who frowns on us, the God who just wants to jump through hoops kind of God, the God perhaps of popular media. Not that God. That God is actually not real. It's a false God. I'm talking about the real God. The real God who has power and authority and creativity, yet intimately knows and cares for each person. That God. If you could know that God, can you imagine what that would do? I mean, the Queen, phenomenal lady. Congratulations, 70 years. Well, she's an astonishing creature, amazing. But it's only 70 years, and it's only England. My ruler, he goes back a millennia or two, and actually governs not just England or Australia or just the world, but the universe, the cosmos. Everything. My God, salute the Queen, but my God, my ruler, my King created everything, thought of everything, started everything, and is continuing to invest in the now of our creation and has a future all sorted. That God, be still and know. Experience of that I am right now God. Do you know what that means? You don't have to be God. That's good news. You don't have to have the answers. Man, right now, how many things are in your mind that you just don't know? How many questions do you have? How many thoughts about the future? How many pathways can you go down next year? How many confusing? You don't need to know. You don't need to be God. Because you can be still and know that I am God. This is such a powerful verse. It's going to transform everything about the way you pray. But it's not just about, this is not just a message. This is a practice. Like giving is a practice. We do it. Stillness is a practice so that we can experience the power of God. Abiding is a practice. Meditate on the word. Worship is a practice. You know, we put all these things together and you will find yourself in a much deeper, richer world if you do them. So don't just learn about these things. Be still. Cast away distractions. Deal with the addictions. And know, experience that I am God. Psalm goes on and says, I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be. You don't have to worry about that. I have got a future for you. I will sort out your eternity. I got that sorted. What we're going to do, I'm going to shift gears just a little bit. We want to practice this now. Not to make everybody nervous or afraid, but we're going to practice stillness. I mean, why not? This building is a sacred space. It's a house of worship, house of prayer. Now, there's two parts to this. Okay, I'm going to lead you through a way to enter into the stillness of God. I'll lead that through you. And then at the end, I'm going to leave you in a space that's just you and God. For some, it's like, for others, it's, oh, yeah. Be the, oh, yeah, but I'm not sure, but yeah. Like, go with me. It's good. It's good. I want to set up a practice for you so that you can, during the week, find 5 minutes, find 10 minutes, find an hour. But just being in the presence of God. You don't need to talk to God. In fact, the economy of words, we live in a world of words, don't we? Just words, thoughts, ideas. You don't need that. In fact, often words fail us. I don't know how to talk to God most of the time. So I can be. So I'll lead you through a way into the stillness of God. And then I'm going to leave you. At that point, there's going to be just a bit of music playing so you don't get too, you know, silence is not too awkward. And then I'm going to ask you at the end, if you've finished, if you're done, just to leave quietly and chat out there in the foyer. And leave this space. Because you just might want to stay here for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour. Don't be embarrassed. In fact, this is the point of this house. It's a space for us to connect with the living God. And you just might find you've found something and you just don't want to move. I want to give you that space and that freedom to do that. And just to leave quietly and go and chat. Every coffee, that's all good. It's a different kind of ending to the service, right? I'm just setting you up so that during the week you can actually do this so that you can come to me and Jesus will continue to heal your soul and you will find such life and peace in that. All right, so why don't you just close your eyes, get yourself comfortable. Sometimes, you know, you can... in your own bedroom, whatever, wherever space you choose, you know, sometimes kneeling down, sometimes even lying down, although I just sleep if I lie down. But you find a posture of openness towards God that is just good for you. It's comfortable. Jesus is inviting you into a space of stillness before God. And he says to you, be still. So right now, open your soul before God and push away all those thoughts. There's going to be thoughts about today, tomorrow, about lunch, thoughts of an argument you had on the way to church. There's all these things, kids, grandparents, push them away. There's a little prayer I'm going to teach you. It says, I give everything and everyone to you. I give everything and everyone to you. Just repeat that. Every time a person or a situation or a fear or a thought or an anxiety comes, just I give everything and everyone to you. Offload. Your soul is not meant to carry all that it carries. We carry way too much in our souls. We're not supposed to carry the burden of the universe. We're not supposed to carry the war in Ukraine, starvation in Africa, situation in North Korea. It's way too much. We give them back to Jesus. We care about them, but we give them back to him. In fact, 1 Peter 5:7 says to cast all your anxieties onto him because he cares for you. So that the burdens that are sticking in your soul, the ones that you just can't seem to shift, cast them, throw them at Jesus because he cares for you. He can deal with those. You can't. Puzzles, the questions that are just way too big for you, throw them at him. He'll catch them. It's like a wicket keeper. And he'll deal with them in time. So empty yourself of burdens. Reduce the need to reach out for some hit or some help, some distraction. And find yourself soul to soul with your loving Father. Be still and know. Right now, know. Experience the love of the Father. The love of your Creator. No one else knows you like he does. He knows you. He saw you, unformed body in your mother's womb. He knows your faculties. He knows your DNA. He knows the way you think. And you're safe with him. You're completely safe. Not only does he know you, he cares for you immensely. So much. So much. He looks out for you. He wants your welfare. He's got these plans for your welfare. Soul to soul, be still and know that I am God. A God who can act on those who wait for him. Isaiah 64. What mind has perceived, what ear has heard, what heart has seen, a God who acts on those who wait for him. Be still and know that I am right now present God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-aware. Find yourself soul to soul. Expose your soul. He will deal tenderly with it. And he'll start to restore it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And in the stillness, that's where soul restoration takes place. And you'll find a depth of Jesus that maybe you've never experienced before. And a place that you want to linger. And deep, deep, deep feelings that start to be warmed and healed. Wounds that just are starting to be exposed and healed. He is the shepherd of our souls. In that space is where I'm going to leave you. I'm going to put some music on and just, you can take as long as you like. when you feel like you just want to shift, that's fine. Just quietly leave and we'll chat in the foyer. Lord Jesus, I'm just praying right now. Fill people's souls. Shepherd their souls. Bless them and fill them. Amen.
Hey, thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can download our church app to keep up to date with what's going on. And of course, if you're in the Bathurst area, we'd love you to pop in and say hello.
Wonderful. See you soon.